Daf Beis Amud Aleph and Maseches Megillah. Let's begin from the Gemara. We started to learn the Mishnah last week, and the Mishnah taught us that there are a number of days in which the Megillah is able to be read. Sometimes it's on the 11th, sometimes on the 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, and the Gemara says that after that, there cannot be a day in which it is read, because the Pasuk says, "Velo ya'avar," you can't go past the day, which is spoken about explicitly in the Mishnah, in the Pasuk, I should say, in the Megillah. So let's begin now with the Gemara, and then we're going to touch very briefly, we don't have so much time, but we're going to touch in the time that we have on this very important issue of Bezdin being Mevatel Divrei Bezdin Chaveru, as we'll see in a few minutes. I mentioned that when this went through the copy machine, it got enlarged and therefore became a little bit fuzzier. So I saw that it's easier to hold it further away. You can see it more clearly. So let's begin with the Gemara. Megillah Nikras B'Yudalef, we have the Mishnah tells us that there are years in which the Megillah can be read on Yud Aleph. And we said it depends if you're a big city, if you're a small city, if you want to go to the Monday or Thursday before or after. So that was the whole calculation that our Mishnah gave as to how you can have a discrepancy in the day on which the Megillah is read. So the Gemara says, Megillah Nikras B'Yud Aleph, how do we know that the Megillah can be read on Yud Aleph? Minalan. Says the Gemara, what do you mean Minalan? What kind of question is that? Kidabainan Lamemar Lakaman, we are about to explain this a little bit later on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, on Daf Yutes Amud Aleph, that Chachamim Hikilu Al Hakfarim, the Chachamim said, since we have the small villages, and Rashi explained, in the small villages they don't know how to read Hebrew, they don't know how to read the Megillah, so they have to go to the big villages in order to read. Therefore the Chacham said, they have a right, Lios Magdim in Liyom Haknisa, they have the right to read the Megillah on the day that they would come to the big city anyway. We don't want to have to make them do a separate trip to the big city in order to lay in the Megillah. Therefore we say, since every Monday and Thursday they're coming to the big city anyway, so therefore we allow them to lay in the Megillah a little bit earlier. Now the Gemara says, Kadeshi Safku Mai Mumazon Acheim Shabekrachim. As an aside, the Gemara tells us also, the members of these small little shtetlach, the small little villages, used to also have the practice. They were the ones who were hired to be the gophers. They were the ones who would provide the food and the drink and all of the things that were necessary for the members of the big city. So we want them to be available on Purim to be the caterers and to bring the water and to do everything that needs to be done. So therefore we allow them to lay in the Megillah a little bit earlier. So that's how you can have a year in which the Megillah will be read on Yud Aleph. Says the Gemara, so that couldn't be the question. The question, again, we thought the Gemara's question was, why do we lay on Yud Aleph? The answer is very simple. We lay on Yud Aleph because the circumstances have it that the people in the small cities won't be able to lay on another day. Says the Gemara, that wasn't our question. Anan hachi kamrinan. What our question was, Mechdi, kulu anshe knesses hagedola takninu. The entire idea of Purim was that the anshe knesses hagedola decided it's worthy of us making a special commemoration of this miracle. The salka daitach, Anshe Knesset Hagdola Yudalet V'Tezvav Tikun Aser Rabbanan V'Akri Takanta T'Takinu Anshe Knesset Hagdola. Can that be? Meaning, if you're going to tell me that this happened in two different stages, if you're going to tell me that originally in the times of the Megillah they made a decree that from here on in every year on the 14th day they're going to celebrate in these cities and on the 15th day they're going to celebrate in those cities, if that was the Takana and that was it, and now years later they decide, oh well, let's change that a little bit, let's try and bring it up for the cities that aren't available on the 14th or 15th, and now they're going to alter the provisions of the original Takana, ask the Gemara, how would they have the right to do that? After all, the Hatnan, Ein Bezdin Yachal Levatel Divrei Bezdin Chaveiro, Ela Im Kein Gadol Mimenu B'Chachma Uv'Minyan. The only way that a Bezdin is able to repeal an original Takana that was instituted by an earlier generation is only if they are Gadol Mimenu B'chachma uv'minyan, only if they are greater in chachma, or if they are greater in minyan. Now, what does minyan mean? What does minyan mean?
Greater number.
Number what? So if originally when it was instituted there were 50 rabbis, now I get 100 rabbis together, so that's good enough? What do you mean? If we're 100 stupid rabbis, what does that help? That they were 50 smart rabbis. It shouldn't add up. So that's a big question. What does it mean, chachma uv'minyan? What does it mean? So some Rishonim say it means older. So if the other rabbis were in their 40s, they didn't have life experience. If now we have a bunch of 90-year-olds who really have a great understanding of the way the world works, and they've been studying Torah for so long, maybe that's what chachma v'minyan means. So it's a big discussion, how exactly do you define what chachma and minyan actually means? And do we really assume that a later generation could have more chachma than an earlier generation? That is a major question, and I believe it's worthy of our study at some point. Maybe next week we'll talk about it. I remember last year I made a get-together in our shul. It was an unofficial get-together, but I made a get-together of, it was like a rabbinical conference. We had about 50 rabbanim who came from across the country, and I invited Rabbi Asher Weiss to spend the day with us and to speak for the whole day. So one of the sessions that he had was an amazing session about which generation is allowed to argue on another generation. So the assumption in the Gemara always is that a Tana is a Tana, and an Amora is never allowed to argue on a Tana, right? The Gemara says Rav had the right to agree with Tanaim because Rav was in some way a Tana himself. But otherwise, the Gemara assumes a Tana and an Amora are on different levels, different playing fields, and an Amora doesn't have a right. After all, the Gemara very often will ask a question on a statement of an Amora and say, what do you mean? We have a Mishnah that says not so. So what? Why can the Amora say, I don't care what the Mishnah says. I'm an Amora. I have a mind of my own. Answer is, because there's a certain understanding that an Amora is not allowed to argue on a Tana. And is a Rishon allowed to argue with the Gemara? Is an Achron allowed to argue with a Rishon? These are all very important questions when you try to figure out what is the bottom line, the development of the Mesorah of Torah Shebal Peh, and are we allowed to argue on the Shulchan Aruch? The Vilna Gaon all over the place seems to take the liberty to argue with the Shulchan Aruch, and he doesn't seem to have a problem. Was that only because he was the Vilna Gaon, or it's because there's no real problem for an Achron to argue with a Rishon? So that is a very fascinating question. In the end, at that conference that we had here in the shul, we gave out, we printed a booklet of many of the things that he spoke about, and this was one of the hot topics that was printed in there. So maybe if it's of interest to people, we can go through it next week. I think, to me, it's very interesting just to see the development of Torah Shebal Peh and how it works. But the Gemara here assumes the only way a Beis Din can repeal an earlier Takana is Ela Im Kein Gadol Mimenu B'Chachma V'Minyan. So if you're going to tell me that this worked in two stages, the original Takana of Purim was, we're going to observe Purim on the 14th and the 15th, depending on if you're in a walled city like Shushan, or if you're in any other city that is not walled. If that's the way the Takana was originally instituted, and now all of a sudden we're coming along and saying, well, we're going to change the rules, going to change the parameters. If you're in a different kind of city, you're going to lay in on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. Ask the Gemara, how can they make such a Takana? It's going against what an earlier generation had already instituted, and they don't have a right to do that unless they're greater b'chachma u'v'minyan. So the Gemara answers as follows. Answers the Gemara, Ela pshita, it must be kulu anshei knesset hagedolah takinu. It must be that the original takana of Purim included everything. So when the anshei knesset hagedolah got up and said, you know, it would be worthy of the Jewish people making a commemoration for Purim, that meant not only are we going to commemorate Yud Dalet and Tesvav, depending on if you're a walled city or not, but we're also going to commemorate on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, if the circumstances are such. So the Gemara says, Heicha Ramiza, how do we ever find such a thing in the Pesukim that indicates that originally when we instituted Purim in the very first years when they were trying to get it off the ground, where do we ever find such an indication that they had the ability to also do it on earlier days than Yud Dalet and Tesvav? Says the Gemara, Amar Rab Shemin Bar Abba, Amar Rab Yochanan Amar Kra. The pasuk says, "Lekayim es yemei haPurim haEle bizmanehem." So, what do you mean bizmanehem? In their times, Purim is only one day. So, from the fact that it means zmanim harbe tiknu lehem, from the fact that it's in the plural conjugation, it must mean that there were many times that were originally instituted for the celebration of Purim. And from there, we see that originally, when the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah got up and said Purim is a good idea, they included in the takana that we have all the various days, as our Mishnah stated. Ask the Gemara, that's not true. Hai mi bar leilu gufei. The Gemara says, that is not true. You don't use bizmanehem to teach you that Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel as well. We need that for Yud Dalet and Tesvav. The reason why it's plural is because on any given year, in the very first time when we observe Purim, some cities did it on one day, some cities did it on another. But still, ask the Gemara, how do you know to say that you have the ability to celebrate on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel as well? That's not indicated in the Pasuk. Just because it says Bizmanehem in the plural formulation, that doesn't mean that you have the ability to bump it up already 3 days earlier. Answers the Gemara, no. Im kein le makra zman, the Gemara should say, zman, my zmanehem. What does it mean, zmanehem? Says the Gemara, zmanim tuva, that means many different times. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to go through the Pesukim to try to figure out how do you know Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, and Yud Dalet and Tesvav are already stated in the Pasuk. But one of the fundamental underpinnings of our Gemara is that if, in fact, the original Takana was that you observe Purim on Yud Dalet and Tesvav, The Gemara says it's inconceivable to imagine that a later generation would come along and change the takana. After all, Ein bezin yachol yachol levatol divrei bezin chavero elim ken gadol mimenu b'chachma v'minyan. What's important to know is where does that rule apply and where does it not? So every psak that's been given in the last 500 years, we have to follow, even if all the Rabbanim of our generation disagree with it? Is that really the way it works? You look at the Mishnah Berura, and you'll be surprised. The Mishnah Berura reverses the psak from the last 100 years before him. Everybody before the Mishnah Berura used to learn the Chayei Adam and follow all the psakim. Now all of a sudden the Mishnah Berura brought into the mix many obscure Rishonim that never were available in any generation before him. The Mishnah Berura quotes Meiris. They never had Meiris before the times of the Mishnah Berura. And now he reverses the psak on many different issues. And he brings into the calculation the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and he brings in the Vilna Gaon, and so many other sources that are now brought into the psak. Every other page, the Mishnah Berura begins to reverse the psak from hundreds of years before him. So is that something that is justified, or perhaps is it not? So we have to really define, what does it mean that we don't have a right to argue with an earlier Bezdin? Let's look at this. What I put together here is a few passages that my father has in a few of his Sfarim, where he tries to explain this issue of where do we have the parameters? When do we say a Bezdin does have the right to disagree with an earlier generation? And when perhaps do they not? So he writes as follows. HaRambam Kasav, the Rambam writes, Reish Perak Beis Hilchas Mamrim. This is a direct quotation from the Rambam, where he says, Bezdin gadol shadarshu ba'achas min amidos. Every day in our davening, we start off before Pesukah de Zimra, we say, Bishloshes remidos hatorah nedreshes bahem. There's a rule book in how you can learn the Torah. You cannot just read a pasuk and say, oh, I think the pasuk means X, or I think the pasuk means Y. There's a way in which you're supposed to interpret Pesukim based on the 13 principles that we were given. That's what we say every day. So the Rambam says, if you have a Bezdin in any given generation that reads a Pasuk and extrapolates from that Pasuk a particular halacha and says, this must be what the Pasuk means based on this principle, based on this rule. Based on their understanding of applying the principle to that particular Pasuk, they think that this halacha emerges, v'dino din, v'danu din. Now, 100 years later, another Bezdin comes along and says, they totally misinterpreted everything. They didn't use the right principle, they didn't use the right pasuk, and we would have said it means X or it means Y, and we totally disagree with the interpretation of an earlier generation. V'nirlo tamacher l'steroso, says the Rambam, hareze so servidon. That later generation has every right to disagree with the interpretation of the earlier generation, and to say, kifi mashanir be'ena. They have a right to say, we understand this differently, and therefore we are going to paskin differently. Shenamar, because the pasuk says, "Ela shofet asher yia bayamim ha'em, ein chachayv lalechas ela achar bezdin shebidorecha." Your obligation is to go after the bezdin of your times, not to go after the interpretation of the bezdin of a previous generation. Your obligation is to listen to the rabbanim of your time, which I always think we think it means in one way that we have a right to interpret things the way we understand them today. That's one thing it means, but it also means in the reverse. How many Talmidim do we have of Rav Soloveitchik who were so enamored by their great teacher, and because he passed away 25 years ago, they say, we have no one else we can ever ask a shaila to, because there's no one on the level of that genius of Rav Soloveitchik. I've met many of these people who say, ever since he passed away, I have no one who I can trust. I have no one who I can ever ask. What the Rambam says here is, not only that every generation has Talmidei Chachamim who are expected to give their true understanding of what they think the Torah is meant to teach us, but also that every generation has to appreciate that the Talmidei Chachamim who are alive in your generation are the ones who should be consulted. And it doesn't matter that Rav Soloveitchik was a genius who you were very enamored by and he died 25 years ago. Now the generation has moved on. And now we have new personalities. And now it's our task as members of this generation to figure out who are the people that we are putting up to say, these are the leaders, and we are going to listen to the way they interpret and to their understanding of the Torah. I think the Rambam means it in both directions, and it's a very important point, especially when you have generations like ours living after the influence of a great person like Rav Soloveitchik and many others. Kelomar, what does the Rambam mean? How can the Rambam say that Ein lecha ela shofet shebi'amecha? I have a right to listen to the Talmud Chacham of my generation, and he has the right to interpret it the way he wants. What do you mean? Gadol menim chacham minyan? Doesn't our Gemara say he doesn't have a right to disagree? So what does the Rambam mean? What he means is, Kedei levatel divrei abezdan arishon, hainu dafka, the only time that this rule applies that our Gemara states, that a Bezdin cannot repeal an earlier enactment of an earlier generation, that is only kishetiknu takana o gazru gzeira. So 1,000 years ago, the Chacham came up with a rule. 2,000 years ago, no medicine on Shabbos. Why? Because we're afraid shemei yishachek samamanim. Someone's going to crush up the ingredients, and then they're going to violate the malacha of tochein. Therefore, no one's ever allowed to use medication on Shabbos. We come along and we say, hey, that doesn't make sense. Who's ever going to do such a thing? Why would we do such a thing? So we get rid of it. There we say, unless you're gadol b'chachma v'minyan, you cannot repeal an institution of the Chachamim. You cannot repeal a gzeira that the Chachamim put into place. However, avalo b'drashas dinim d'araisa. This does not apply when the Chachamim have an interpretation into a pasuk that they think is the correct way to understand it. So we say a later generation has every right to come along and say, we disagree with their interpretation. Not we disagree with an institution that they made up. Once they instituted it, once they made a gzeira, that's here forever. However, if you have a group of Chachamim who come along and say, we disagree with the way you understood this pasuk, or the application of this midah to that pasuk, and how you extrapolated a halacha from there, this rule does not apply. And I think this is such an important yisod. Because it means, when the Gemara tells us that you always have to have gadol b'chachma v'minyan in order to undo something that was done before, well, not so fast. That doesn't apply across the board, it doesn't apply to everything. It applies only to when the Chachamim made a new takana or a new gzera, so then a later generation doesn't have a right to get rid of it. Unless, obviously, it was only made for their generation's time. Sometimes you have a takana that was instituted only for them. That is not always the case by all takanas derabbanan. Now, let's skip down. Go to the next paragraph. V'kiyai gavna matzinu gamkein. We find a similar idea. V'kesher le'eser takana shetikin Ezra. The Gemara Baba Kama Daf Pei Beis tells us that Ezra HaSofer came along and instituted 10 new takanos that he thought were important for the Jewish people. One of those 10 is Asher Beneyem Nisgar. One of the 10 that is mentioned in the Gemara is Shetikin Tvila Lebali Kerion, that Ezra came along and said it makes sense that someone who's a Bal Keri should go to the mikvah before learning Torah, before davening. Ukvar Amdu Akacha Rishonim. So the Rishonim say, Hey Chayer Rashoi Rabbi Yudah Ben Besera Levato Takanoso Zu Hakduma Shel Ezra. Rabbi Yudah Ben Besera comes along hundreds of years later, and he just repeals the takana of Ezra Sofer. How can he do that? Ezra said it makes sense that somebody should make sure to go to the mikvah before learning Torah or before davening, and now Rabbi Yudah ben Beseira just comes along and says, no, it doesn't apply anymore. How does he have a right to do that? He's not gadol from Ezra b'chachma v'minyan. So how do you have the authority to disagree with Ezra? V'halo, the Rishonim ask, Ein bezin yachal levatol divrei bezin chaver elam kein gadol mimenu b'chachma v'minyan. So the Rishonim try to give all kinds of very difficult answers how to wiggle out of this problem. Uve Meiri lebrachos kasav liyashiv. The Meiri explains very simply. Dino Zeshal Ezra Dinda Araisahu. This halacha that Ezra said that a Balkari needs to go to the mikvah before learning or davening, that is not Ezra's own idea. That was Ezra interpreting a pasuk that he thought indicated that. Again, so Ezra didn't come up with a new idea. It wasn't a new takana of his generation. It was his interpretation of a pasuk. Share Darshu Mikra. Because Ezra, so from the Gemara Brachos, learns it from a pasuk. V'hodatim levanecha levnei vanecha. And Ezra Sofer said, just like by Har Sinai, a Bal Keri wasn't allowed to learn Torah, and a Bal Keri wasn't allowed to approach Har Sinai, so too today in our generation, a Bal Keri doesn't have a right to go and engage in Talmud Torah because we learn it out from the Pasuk itself. Which means Ezra Sofer is using the Yud Gimel Midos to extrapolate a halacha from the Pasuk itself. Udrasha Gemura Yizu, Velo Sram Asmachta Ba'alma. You'll say, what do you mean? This had to be a takana of Ezra. It had to be an institution. After all, the Gemara says in Baba Kama that Ezra takanos tikin Ezra. So from the fact that it's called the takana of Ezra, doesn't that seem to be clear that it means Ezra made it up? So he writes, no, that's not what it means. What it means is shedarash v'hiskin, kalomar she pirsei mesadrasha shelo. Ezra realized this was the halacha all along, just nobody was careful about it. So it's called the Takana of Ezra. He gets the credit because he was mefarsim it, like the Chafetz Chaim. Lashon Hara was around way before the Chafetz Chaim. But without the Chafetz Chaim, who would be we're not careful about Lashon Hara even with the Chafetz Chaim. But for those who are, the Chafetz Chaim gets the credit. Why? Because he's the one who brought it to our attention. Before the Chafetz Chaim came around and wrote a sefer, most people didn't think twice about it. The Shatnez guy who spent his whole life in America, whatever his name was, right? They have the ad in the paper every week that says, please learn from me. What? Zion Cheshman. So the question is, who is that guy? I don't know who he is, but the truth is, he didn't make up anything new. He just taught everybody that there's a halach of Shatnez that the Torah teaches us, and everybody isn't being careful about it. So he gets the credit. He goes down in history as the one who made the Americans aware of the Isser of Shatnez. So that's called the Takana Shatnez. That's called Takana of Lashon Hara. So to over here, Ezra's Takana wasn't really that he made it up. It's that he was Mefarsim, the Dinda Araisa. Avol b'emes dinda araisa huzeh umemela, and therefore, since Ezra learned it from a pasuk, lo chal bazeh klala dein bezdin yachal levatol divrei bezdin chaveiro. Where does this rule apply? Where do we assume that a bezdin is not allowed to argue on a previous takan of a bezdin? That's only when the earlier bezdin was misaking something, and now a later bezdin comes along and says, "We think it's irrelevant. We don't think it's necessary for our generation." How do you have such a right to do that? An earlier Bezdin thought it was important, and now you're coming and disagreeing with them? You don't do that. You cannot do that. You don't have the authority to do such a thing. But if an earlier Bezdin came along and interpreted a pasuk, like Ezra, comes along and says, hey, why does the Torah say the pasuk of accepting the Torah right next to the story of standing at Har Sinai? What does that have to do with Har Sinai when I'm learning Torah today? The answer is, says Ezra, the same way at Har Sinai a Balkari wasn't allowed to engage in Talmud Torah, so to today we are also not allowed to engage in Talmud Torah. That was his interpretation of a pasuk in Chumash. So we have a right to disagree on that interpretation. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir comes along later on and he says, what are you talking about, Ezra? The Torah just happens to put the two things next to each other, but they have no connection with each other at all. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir didn't think that he was smarter than Ezra, but he said, I have the right, Ein lecha l'shofit shebi'amecha, I have the right to take the same Yud Gimel Midos that the Torah is supposed to be studied with, all the rule books, all the textbook ways that a person is allowed to extrapolate rules from the Torah itself, and he says, my interpretation is different. And therefore he feels he has a right to disagree with Ezra because he's not repealing an earlier takana. I think it's such an important concept.
So we're not changing the two-day yontif in
right.
In
not right now. Not right now.
Okay.
We can't. That's correct. That is correct. No, that's a great example.
Right.
Meaning, 2 day Yantiv, it makes no sense. We have a set calendar. It really doesn't make sense. But because Yantiv Sheni Shagolius was a Takana, so we don't have a right to repeal it. That's actually a great example. My father always likes to say, if, you know, he says people call him all the time about, well, should I keep 2 days, 1 day in Eretz Israel? He says, What would you do? Would you be asking the Shaila if the rule was that an American who visits Eretz Yisrael, I'm sorry, that in Eretz Yisrael, they only have to keep, in America, you only have to keep 2 days, and in Eretz Yisrael, you have to keep 3 days. Would you ask the Shaila then? I messed up the joke, but that's what he always says. It's funnier when he says it. Anyway, turn to the second side of the page. Again, these are culled from different svarim of my father. It's obviously a theme that he likes to talk about. But I think it's a very important one because it gives us a deeper understanding of the concept that we often find in the Gemara, and it's not as clear-cut as we otherwise would have thought. I think this is an issue that's really not discussed widely in many other svarim. That's why I thought it was worthy of bringing it to our attention. Yeah.
Why is there the distinction, though, between the Takana and what's derived from the interpretation of certain...
It's a good question. I think the understanding is the Rambam says we do have a concept that ein lecha el shofit shebi'amecha. We give respect to the Talmidei Chachamim of our generation. That means we give them the rule book. We give them the rule book, which is the Yud Gimel Midos, and we say to them, you teach us from your understanding what does it mean when the Torah says this? What does it mean when the Torah says that? What does it mean when these two psukim are next to each other? The Chachamim of every generation are given the rule book and they are tasked with trying to explain to the people how to interpret the Torah. But the Chacham of every given generation don't have the right to say, we're greater than every generation that came before us, and therefore we can get rid of anything that they thought was important. I hear a distinction a little bit. Right? A mathematician comes along and uses the rules to come up with a new chiddush in math. Right? So he uses the same old rules that they always used. And based on all those principles, he says, I have a new idea. So he's a genius. He came up with a great idea. Now we're going to incorporate that into the next math book. But does he have a right to come along? I don't know. But does he have a right to come along and say, maybe he does. I'm not sure if it's the same analogy. What?
If he disproves it,
but we don't have a right. We don't have a way to disprove it. You don't know what was in the minds of the Chacham every time they made a Takana. The Gemara sometimes shares the reason, and the Gemara sometimes tells us there were 25 reasons, and we only get one. Let's say by the Takana of Bishulakim, I think the Gemara says Chalavakim Bishulakim. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, they decided they were going to make a Takana of Bishulakim. Now the Gemara says that day in the yeshiva, some of the Talmidim didn't show up. They weren't there. They missed it. They had to do carpool that day, so they didn't show up. The Gemara says the next day they come back and they see Pashkevilim all over the community. It says, you're not allowed to eat any Bishulakim anymore. They say, what's this all about? Bishulakim, what happened? We were always allowed to eat from the neighbor's food, all of a sudden we're not. So he goes to his friend and he says, why are we not allowed to eat Bishulakim? Like, did something happen yesterday? He says, I can't tell you the reason. Goes to the other friend, he says, were you in yeshiva yesterday? He says, yeah. Do you have anything to do with these signs? How come we're not allowed to eat Bishulakim? He says, I can't tell you the reason. They didn't disclose the reason. Then the Gemara says, after the whole Takana picked up, they started to disclose the reason, and it says they forgot already what the original reason was, because they hid it for so long that now everybody was disagreeing. What was the original reason? So we don't really understand what was the original Takana meant for. Why did they feel it was important to institute it, and therefore you don't have a right to say that it doesn't apply or it does apply, because you didn't really know what it was all about. But when you're talking about making a drusha using the same tools and using the same sukkim, there you have a right to say, I can take the tools with my limited understanding, but I can take it and apply it to the pasuk as I see fit, and that's acceptable.
Yeah, there's a specific reason, though. There is a debate as to whether once that reason is no longer,
whether you, for example,
batalatam. Right.
Right, so that's also a very difficult question. When do you say batalatam, batalakzera? And when do you say, no, the gzera still stays? That's a very difficult question. Because here, let's say Yom Tov Sheni. Here we have Batal Atam. The whole thing is gone, but the gzera is still alive and kicking, which is a very difficult thing for us to understand. How do you draw the line between Batal Atam, Batal Gzera, and not? So let's turn to the second side of the page, and with this we'll close. What? Right. Right, but why is that? Right, but why is that? That's the question. Mm-hmm. Could be. Yeah, it's hard. So let's see. So the Gemara says, so let's turn to the second side. Yui in Gemara Zvachim. The Gemara says in Zvachim, Rav Shimon ben Pazi Amar Mishim bar Kapar, Shabbatchilas Tkufas Ba'isheni, Hosifu ala Shitin. The Gemara says in Masechus Zvachim that in the beginning of the Ba'isheni, they changed the structure of the Mizbeach. Vishinu es aseder, and they changed also how they do nisachim, nisach hayayin on the mizbeach, was ofen the nasach hayayin. Demei karasavar, they originally thought mizbach adama, when the Torah says the mizbeach has to be a mizbach adama tasali, they thought it meant sheye atum ba adama, means it has to be filled with dirt. Not just made from dirt, but it has to be completely filled with dirt as well. But the besof savar, in the end they thought shtia kachila, you have to have a room, you have to have a space in the middle of the mizbeach where you can pour something into the side of the mizbeach. Fine. So the Sfasemis asks a question, Ksas Tema, Imkain, do you mean to say that now if the later Chacham came along and told us that this is the way we're going to build the Mizbeach and the Bayis Sheni, you mean to tell me that Bebayis Rishon Asu Chas V'Shalom Shaloki Din Kala Yamim? You mean to tell me that for hundreds of years, every day when they did the Nisach on the Mizbeach, they were doing it wrong because they didn't have that hole that you thought belongs there? So now you reinterpret a pasuk. You say Mizbach Adama doesn't mean what you thought it meant. So for 500 years when we had a Beis HaMikdash, we were pouring the Nesachim over here. And now you come along and you tell me, no, the Nesachim were supposed to be poured right in the middle of the Mizbach into the hole that was never there before. So what does that tell you about the last 500 years? That every day the Avodah was Pasul, right? Is that what it means? So that's the Sfasemis' question. So the Sfasemis tries to wiggle out of the question. Maybe it does mean this Pasul, maybe it's not. So my father suggests, Val Pip Shuto Hayanira Lomar, Delo Kashamidi, Dehainu Klala De Eleva Elo Divrela Kimchaim. This is what it means, that every generation has a right to take the rules of the Torah and to interpret how they see fit in the Psukim. Ve'en Lachala Shofit Shabianacha, Shakol Dor Vador Chayavim Linog, Bidinim Do Araisa Kafi Havanos Chachme Osa Hador. This disagreement about how to make the Mizbeach, that's a disagreement based on an understanding of a Pasuk. So 500 years ago, they understood the pasuk this way, and now our generation is saying we understand the pasuk differently. And because we have the right to take those kalim and to reinterpret a pasuk the way we see fit and to apply it the way we think makes sense, therefore, we will change the way the avodah is done in the Beis Hamikdash, which is a radical statement. But that's what the Gemara tells us was done. For 500 years it was done one way, and all of a sudden it changed, and the Ba'al Sheni to be done a different way. How can that be? Ah, you can't do something different than the Beis Din that came before you. The answer is, here we're talking about making a drasha from a pasuk. When we're talking about making a drasha from a pasuk and how exactly to interpret a pasuk, in a case like that, we assume every generation has the right to take the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah and the drashas b'hem and to interpret them into the psukim as they see fit. So this, I think,